For as many have sinned without law shall perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Let us pray. We thank thee, Lord, for thy holy word. We pray that we'll bless it to our hearts, that we'll use it to make the good news of Jesus Christ clear to us, and the reason why it is so necessary. May this sermon glorify thee and edify us through him. We thank thee for it. Amen. Why the moralists are lost without Christ. Last week I preached on why the heathen are lost without Christ, even though they've never heard the law, they never heard the gospel. God revealed himself to them in nature, his eternal Godhead and power, so that they are without excuse. They have the truth of God. Paul says they know God, but they turn from the truth, they suppress it, and they turn to gods that they make themselves. They exchange the truth of God for a lie. It says they know God, but they are not thankful to him. What do the heathen thank? Well, they thank the sun, their lucky stars, they thank a volcano, they thank some saints. Anything but God. And so Paul says they are without excuse. Now, in these first three chapters of Romans, the apostle is going to prove that the whole human race is sinful and lost without the Lord. He's clearly proved that the heathen are lost. And now in this section today, he's going to prove that the moralists are lost. Now, we as Christians are very concerned with good Christian morals. But the moralist is one who is concerned with morals because he trusts that because he's a good person, God will accept him. There were many Greek and Roman moralists. A very famous one, Seneca. His writings were actually read by Christians. He wrote on the importance of integrity, honesty, faithfulness, self-control, all very good things. They believed that personal morality made them right with God. And they would have agreed with Paul that these heathen are certainly lost. We have no problem believing that. But we wouldn't consider ourselves lost. We're not heathen. And they're Jewish moralists as well. In fact, most Jews are moralists. You think of our Lord's story of the Pharisee who went to the temple, and he went there to tell God what a great man he was, how his works were so wonderful. And he left the temple as lost as when he went in, because he was trusting in himself and his goodness and not the Lord and his mercy. Now, these ancient Greek and Jewish moralists could have been very good people. They might have made good neighbors. But Paul is going to show that they're still sinners and lost without a Savior. When he comes to the third chapter, he's going to sum up this whole teaching by saying, "There is none righteous, no, not one. All the world is guilty before God." Now let's begin with verse 1. "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest them that doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things." The moralist does live a moral life, and so he is quick to condemn sins in others. If he agrees that it's correct to condemn a sinner, then he's also agreeing it's correct to condemn him, because he's a sinner. The one who condemns him is God, who will judge, it says, according to the truth, not according to the man's opinion of himself, or he's one of the chosen people, or whatever. by his deeds. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? The Lord is often very good and patient with the sinner. He daily gives them many undeserved blessings. And they conclude from this that they are right with God and he accepts them. But the purpose of God in his common grace blessing is to lead them to repentance. God has been so good to me. How can I live against his law? For those of you who are at the last missionary dinner, our speaker said one of the ways he witnesses is he's talking to an unsaved person, and this person says, well, you know, I live a very good life, and I have all I need. And so he says, God's been good to you, right? And he said, yes. He says, you know, the Bible tells you why God is good to you? He says, why? To lead you to repentance. It's not his way of indicating that he's not going to punish you. It's his way of leading you to forsake your sin. Excuse me. Now, Paul is not speaking of the way of salvation here. He's not talking about the way God brings people to repentance. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart. But he's talking about what his providential common grace blessings ought to produce in the sinner, although they don't. They ought to produce repentance. They don't. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against a day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. The sinner who doesn't react properly to the God's goodness and patience, he just makes his sins worse. He aggravates his guilt. He treasures up wrath against the day of judgment. You ever know anybody who's a collector? Like a stamp collector, and little by little, pretty soon they have almost a whole room full of stamps. They're collecting and treasuring up wrath the longer they ignore God, enjoy his blessings, and ignore him. Who will render to every man according to his deeds? Every person will be judged according to his deeds, not according to the fact that he's a Jew, the child of Abraham, or that he's an innocent heathen who never heard. He'll be judged according to what he's done. In other words, judgment will be strictly according to law. That's Paul's whole point and theme here. God's judgment is according to law. What is sin? The Bible describes sin as the transgression of the law of God. Now, it is one thing Paul makes crystal clear in this epistle, is that it's impossible to be saved by good works. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Justification by faith alone in Christ alone is his great theme here. However, the law shall be punished because of their works. The lost will be punished because of their sins, because of their having broken God's law and defied him. The saved should be rewarded, not on account of their works, but in accordance with their works. Yet if you're once saved by Christ, the good works are evidence of that. And the more good works you have in this life, the more reward in heaven. And it's based on your works. Now, it's important to understand here, the apostle is not teaching the way of justification. He's not telling you how to be saved. He's laying down general principles of justice by which all men shall be judged. He's not here expounding the gospel. He's expounding the law. And the law says those who break it will perish. Those who keep it will live. That's in order to explain later that we who have not kept it, we can only be saved if we trust Christ who did. But the principle is perfect law keeping is required for salvation. Now, Paul's point here is that whether a person has never heard the gospel or he's heard it and rejected it, the standard by which he will be judged is the law. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing and seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Again, I have to emphasize, this is not an exposition of the gospel, but of the law. In order to have glory and honor and eternal life, God requires perfect obedience to the law. That's his point, which nobody but Christ has ever done. But unto them which are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, to the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. Those who are contentious, they argue against God's truth, they do that which is against his law, they will suffer his wrath, indignation, and anguish, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Jesus was born among the Jews. He brought his gospel first to the Jews. And those Jews who reject his gospel, they will be judged far more severely than the heathen because they're sinning against greater light. To the Jew first means especially to the Jew. The Gentiles will not escape God's judgment, though, because as he said earlier, they have a revelation of God and nature that they purposely reject because they don't want God. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. This is again the principle of God's law. Those who keep it will enjoy glory, honor, and peace. And those who break it, tribulation, wrath, and anguish. Now again, clearly we have not kept it. And he's building all this up to show why we need a Savior, why the heathen need a Savior, why the moralists need a Savior, why the Jew needs a Savior. For there is no respect of persons with God. That's something that the Jews especially needed to hear. You know, they always told Jesus, well, we're children of Abraham. Abraham's our father. You know, how can God possibly not accept us? Yes, God will judge the Gentiles. We certainly believe that, but not us. No, Paul says God doesn't respect persons. Everyone's treated in exactly the same way. In the book of Leviticus, it is written that the judges must judge with perfect impartiality. You don't give the rich man a break because he's rich. You don't give the poor man a break because he's poor. Everyone is judged impartially by the law. That's God's rule. Don't you wish we had impartial judges today? When a man commits a crime, his whole defense is, oh, he was abused as a child. You know what? That doesn't make any difference at all. Not under God's law. You're judged according to what you have done. We have a system now where the criminal is treated as a victim. It's not really his fault. It's the way he was treated by society that made him bad. God will judge the world impartially. For as many have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Here, he's using the word law for the written law, the Holy Scriptures. Those who have sinned, who don't have the Scriptures, will not be judged by the Scriptures. They'll be judged by the law in their hearts. Those who have the Scriptures will be judged far more severely because they have the greater light. The heathen have the law of God written in their hearts. And that's the law that they break. It's the law of God, and they'll be judged by. And even though they don't have the Scriptures, it says they will be punished. They perish. Why will they perish if they haven't heard the gospel? Because they're sinners. Because they're rebels against God. Because they're in league with the devil. Because they're evil. This principle is every person will be judged by God's law. Whether it is only the law in his heart or the law he has learned from the Scriptures. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. In the ancient world, books were written by hand, which made them very expensive, and most people didn't have them. So the Jews learned the Scriptures by hearing. And so Paul says, hearing the law isn't enough. But wait, I go to synagogue every Saturday, I hear the law, I hear the Scriptures. Paul says, that's not enough. You have to fulfill them or have a Savior who did it for you. Those who are doing the law will be justified. Now, the word justified here is not a moral quality. It's a legal standing. They'll be pronounced just. They'll be pronounced not guilty if they can perfectly keep the law. Now, what he says, the doers of the law will be justified. He's not speaking of the way to be saved, since you can't do that. He's saying that for all who seek to be saved by the law, you better keep it perfectly. Those who rely on works, you better have the works, which, of course, no one has. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, they having not the law, or a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. Again, Paul is here expounding not the gospel, but the law. The standard that God will judge the Gentiles will be his law, the one he puts in their hearts. Now, notice he doesn't say this is a law they've learned. It's a law they have by nature. God has made them with the law of God in their hearts. He's made them with a conscience. There's no person ever born who has no conscience, a sense of right and wrong. You don't need the Bible to have a sense of right and wrong. You just need to be a human. And that's a law which God has put in their hearts. So they don't have the law, meaning the Jewish Scriptures, but they do have God's law, and they'll be judged by that law, and they'll be condemned as sinners, as lawbreakers. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now, if you're following in the Bible, you may be asking, why is Paul saying this here? It doesn't make any sense following verse 15. But if you look closely in your Bible, verses 13, 14, and 15 are parenthetical. So Paul, in verse 16, is completing what he said in verse 12. Read together, it's like this. For as many as have sinned without the law shall perish without the law, and as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men. by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So he's putting this all together on Judgment Day. God will judge the Gentiles, the Jews, Christians, all men, by the standard of his law. Now, note two things about this last verse. God will judge the world by Jesus Christ. You'll appear before Jesus Christ as your judge or as your savior, depending on whether you've received him as your savior in this life. He'll be the judge. Thou shalt come to judge the quick and the dead, we say every Sunday. God made the world by Christ, and God will judge the world by Christ. Jesus said, "The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." And then note this, secondly, he will judge the secrets of men. He will judge the sins they've committed no one knows about. He knows. And how can Christ know the secrets of men? Only if he's God and omniscient and knows all things. So in conclusion, the moralist may live an admirable life, but he'll still be judged by God's law. Whether he's a heathen moralist, a Jewish moralist, or a Christian moralist. If he doesn't have Christ as his Savior, no matter how moral he is, he's lost. On the other hand, no matter how immoral you have been, you will not be lost if Christ is your Savior and you repent. Let us pray. We thank thee, Lord, that what we could never do to accomplish our salvation perfectly to obey thy law, Jesus Christ did for us. So we stand before thee just, pronounced, not guilty. And we bless and thank thee for this, and we pray that we may show our gratitude by greater love and fidelity to our service to thee. In Jesus' name, amen.